Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 12. We're going to read that second paragraph, beginning with, "My friend suggested what then seemed," ending with, "Your own conception of God." We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Shanna C., who will be reading the text, Luann C., who will be reading page 164, and Kara L. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Cheryl S., and announcements will be Eileen M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, is 21,276 or 21276. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,282 or 21282. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Candy P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Candy P. And I will now ask Jim C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning. This is Jim C., compulsive eater in Rochester, New York. The 12 traditions, our common welfare should come first. It depends upon OA unity. 2, for the group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is to desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from the primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Well, thank you so much, Jim C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 12, second paragraph, beginning with, my friend suggested what then seemed, ending with, your own conception of God. We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Shanna C. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Through God's grace and the help of you guys and this program, it's just absolutely a miracle for my life. So grateful to be on the line. Thanks to everyone who's read, and thanks to everyone for their service. All right, I'll begin reading. My friend suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Wow, simple. But at least for me, in my experience, that was not an easy thing, because my mind always said, if you choose your own conception, it's going to be wrong. So no matter what, you know, because I have that mind that says no matter what you do, it's wrong. No matter how hard you try, it's wrong. And I was just in that middle of complete and total utter defeat, that no matter what I did, I felt like it, nothing would work. You know, and it addresses that in We Agnostics, directly linked to what is just read. It says, you know, at the start, it said on page 47, when we therefore speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. And then on down, it says at the start, this is all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious relation with God as we understood him. Afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach. You know, and then the next paragraph there, it talks about, do I now believe or am I willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? It doesn't say anything about adopting any type of religion. It doesn't say defining. It doesn't say understanding. It just says, am I willing to believe that there is one? And I needed it that simple for me because I had a lot of old ideas about, you know, God and how God operated and whatever. All I know is there was a woman who had said she had worked these steps and said that she'd found the power to not eat compulsively and hadn't for over 20-something years. And she was happy, joyous, and free. And she said that this process worked for her. And all I did was be willing to believe that the process could work for me too. And the concept of God that I had at the time was a very, very punishing, mean God. But at the time, even though that conception was limited, it was enough to make a beginning. At least my thoughts were, you know what, maybe if I work these steps, I'll get on his good side. You know, that beginning. But nonetheless, what worked for her is working for me every day on a daily basis, provided I take these certain actions and these directions out of this book. Because if I had to understand it all, I wouldn't make it. I just follow the directions in the book and trust that the process will work. And so far it has. And I'm so grateful that I get to be here. And I'll finish with this. It says, page 47, as soon as a man can say he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. Thank you, God. That's all I have, and thanks, everyone, for your service, and I wish everyone a wonderful meeting and a wonderful day.
Well, thank you so much, Shanna C., and we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you shared on Monday or Tuesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes so we can get as many people as possible to share their experience, strength, and hope. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And so I'm going to get the first lineup. If you can please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Wendy B.
Got you,
Rick
Wendy
J.,
B.
North Carolina.
I've got
R.
you, Rick.
Rohan S.
Cheryl S.
Okay, so now I'm losing everyone. I got Rick J. I didn't hear anyone after Rick.
Annabelle B. from Washington.
I've got you,
Rohan
S. I've got your Rohan.
Vanessa.
Cheryl F.
R.
I heard Vanessa. And then I
Cheryl
didn't
F.
hear anyone else. Cheryl F. as in Frank, I believe.
S as in Sam.
Okay, gotcha. Now, was there anyone
Bruce
else
E.
I didn't get? All right, gotcha, Bruce. All right. I think this is a good way to start us off. I've got Wendy B., Rick J., Annabelle, Rohan F., I believe it was, Vanessa, Cheryl C., Bruce E. Please make sure to let us know where you're calling from, and we're going to start with Wendy B., followed by Rick J.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I hear a lot of criticism, you know, about that statement about choosing your own concept of God in Christian fellowships. You know, they say, you know, that the Bible is God's word and you have to believe the version of God, you know, as he describes himself in the Bible, and you have to believe in Jesus as God's son and that he's the only way. And those kinds of statements, you know, aren't helpful, you know, to those struggling with a harsh concept of God, you know, that was pushed on them, you know. And you know, even though AA has its had its roots in Christianity, Bill's concept of introducing God as a power greater than ourselves, you know, opened the door for atheists and agnostics and all those who had struggled with a harsh, punishing God concept. And, you know, he made program available to a larger audience. You know, the 12 steps still embodies, you know, the biblical core teachings, you know, about a personal God and a mission to save and transform lives. And, you know, and we admit our failings and learn to rely on God's power and his love and forgiveness. And, you know, we continually confess our wrongs and submit to God's plan, you know, and allow him to help us, you know, behave with love and compassion toward others. And, you know, we ask for his will in situations and, you know, we share this program of recovery and what God has done in our lives with others. And this big book has really helped me have a practical, workable relationship with the God of the Bible. And, you know, something I didn't get when I just went to church. And, you know, I believe it was God breathed, you know, to help us addict types, you know, become transformed and live happy, productive lives. And I just am so grateful. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next up, we've got Rick J., followed by Annabelle.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks so much for your service. I'm so grateful to be here. You know, when I first heard this, it's been years ago, I came in to 12-step recovery in another program. And when I first really thought about what this was saying, I mean, this moment in time with two men sitting in a little kitchen, you know, one who was sober and, you know, and he just made this suggestion that not just a novel idea, but just this massive paradigm shift for me, like, whoa, are you kidding me? That's possible? I'm allowed to do that. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? And, you know, with Abby, God bless him, you know, he was there just, you know, he was carrying the message to Bill, but he probably had no idea the impact of that one simple little question, right? I mean, for me, and here, you know, like decades later across, you know, different 12-step programs, the, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, whose lives have been affected by a spiritual transformation, working through this spiritual program of action outlined in the book, for me, it did. It started right there. And, you know, we know if we've come to the point where we're powerless, we're on our knees, basically, in the dark, desperate and dying, right, and needing help. And if I'm powerless, if I'm completely powerless and I know that, then what a beautiful way. Like step two, it's we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, but we've got to be able to come to believe in a power that we can believe in. And this opens the door. This levels the playing field. Everybody is on equal footing. Everybody. It doesn't matter if you're what religion you are, if in fact you are religious. If I am at the point of utter desperation, and for me, I always loved when I first heard the, you know, the GOD, Gift of Desperation, Group of Drunks, Good Orderly Direction, you know, all these things that were, you know, like, oh, wow, I am powerless. And I knew that. I knew that. And I knew I needed your help. And I could see some power I could not comprehend working in you, just like Bill did with Ebby. And part of me like, yeah, I want that. I don't understand it, but how in the world do I get that? And then just to be, you know, told that I can just choose my own conception of God, whatever that works for me. It doesn't matter. It's none of my business. It's an outside issue what your conception of a power greater than yourself is, a God of your understanding. And it all stemmed just all the way back through the time of Alcoholics Anonymous and the men and women who have come before us and that we share our recovery with today. For me, is two men sitting across a kitchen table and one just asking that question, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Welcome, welcome, you're in. Without a path.
And Rick, before you mute, where are you calling from? I think he's already muted. Well, thank
I am
you
from
so
North
much
Carolina.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much, Rick. Rick J. from North Carolina. All right. Next up, we've got Annabelle followed by Rohan F.
Good morning, Stephanie. My name is Annabelle, and I'm a compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. And I just absolutely love this little sentence. Why don't you choose your own conception? Years ago when I was in my 20s and I came into the 12 steps in another program, I had this wonderful sponsor. And I just had never grown up with any God at all. Like, my parents never even mentioned God, I don't think. And so I just had no concept at all of what that might be. And she told me, she's like, why don't you write on, it's a cool little exercise of choosing my own conception. And she said, write on one piece of paper all the things you have heard about and you might have believed that God was. So I wrote down all these things. And it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't pretty. It was just because I didn't really know. And then turn over, I'd gone to Catholic school when I was little, so there's a little bit of that on there. And so she said, now turn it over. And now I want you to write down all the things you want your God to be. And I remember feeling like, well, that's kind of self-centered. Like, that's not really who God is. But I did the exercise anyway. And I wrote things like, my biggest thing is I want him to be present and obvious, loving, caring, directing, guiding. Like, I kind of innately in my core knew I needed all those things, but I didn't have them of my own power. So I wrote down all those things, you know, powerful. And so I called her back and I was like, okay, I got my list. And, you know, I was like, man, if that's what God is, that's pretty awesome. And she said, there's your God. And she said, make that who your God is. And I just thought, well, that's really amazing. And I practiced that for a long time because I had done all kinds of weird stuff trying to find a God in program. That was about 4 years in program by then. Well, fast forward to coming to OA in 2020. Well, actually, just let's say 3 days ago, I'm doing the steps again with a new sponsor, and I'm on the second step, doing the reading and the 12 and 12 and doing some work. And I was doing some writing, answering some questions, and I found myself getting to a place of the thing that blocked me from a higher power the most was believing in the false belief that learning and achievement would ward off the judgment of other people and what they thought of me. And I realized that that is because I rely on other people and myself rather than God, who is loving and protecting and caring. And I was like, man, after all these years, I still don't get it. So I wrote down all those things that God is to me today, which is very different than it was 3 years ago. But I was able to just come to that place like, this is my God, and I can trust that. I can trust this as a higher power than me, higher power than other people and their judgment, and higher power than me and anything I could achieve with my own. It was just this amazing moment, and this was just a couple days ago. So I'm really, really grateful, and I feel kind of vulnerable right now, but thanks for listening, and I appreciate your service, Stephanie. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Annabelle C. from Washington. Next up, Rohan F., followed by Vanessa.
Hello, Rohan S. From New Jersey. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. So glad to be on the meeting with everyone this morning, and so grateful for the shares already. I'm getting so much out of it, and so much for this reading, choose your own conception of God, why don't you? Oh, what a simple but brilliant question. It opens up so much. See, for me, like, I just ate food all the time. right? And if I wasn't eating food, I was thinking about food. Because no matter what emotion I was experiencing or whatever was going on in life, food was my safe place, happy place, whatever. It just brought me comfort. And I loved that about food. And I think that's why, in a way, food was my God, you know. But then when we would go and talk about religion or spirituality, you know, there was always these, like, hypocrisies. I felt like people were saying one thing about God, but then there was also something false and lying and mean on the other hand. And I'm like, you're a hypocrite. How can I trust you? How can I believe you? And anytime the word God came up, I always imagined someone pointing their finger at me like, you must believe in God or you will perish. And that's how I felt whenever the whole God thing was brought up. And so when I came into OA, all I wanted to do was to stop binge eating. And then you're like, all right, but this is a spiritual solution. I get it, but why do we have to bring God into this? You know, because God's a hypocrite, and hypocrisy is not going to get me abstinent. No way. And one of the greatest things that OA taught me was that there's only two things that I need to know about God. There is one, and it's not me. And immediately, I couldn't see any hypocrisy in those two statements. And it was like, whoa, that's so simple. And you got, no one's pushing anything on me. Okay, OA is not a cult. Check. And I was very happy about that. And I actually personally added a third rule to that, which is no matter what you think or no matter what's going on, God loves you. Like, he really loves you. And so with those three rules, like, I can believe anything about God. And that's what Eddie's saying. Why don't you choose your own conception? You know, like, I've heard people say, oh, my God's a butterfly, or my God's this wooden tree outside my house, whatever it is that brings me that comfort that I can rely on, a source of power I can rely on. So I'm not relying on the food. I'm not relying on other people. And it is really beautiful. And the last message that is related to this that I wanted to share was that when I was really struggling with just even the whole God thing at all, someone told me, it's like, you don't have to believe in God. You just have to maybe sort of kind of think that one day there might be a higher power. Maybe. Just a little bit. Just maybe. And that tone of just a little bit maybe really helped me started to walk through that door. So thank you for letting
next
me share.
Next time. Oh, thank you. Perfect, Rohan. Rohan S. Mm-hmm. from New Jersey. Next up, Vanessa, followed by Cheryl S.
Thank you. This is Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Gratefully recovered today. So last night I looked at this paragraph, thinking about the meeting today, and for a moment I just let myself imagine what might have happened if Abby hadn't been inspired to pose this question to Bill. You know, prior to this, Bill has, you know, a lot of defenses up. He's got a lot of his own ideas. And he's very resistant, you know, to the idea of a God, you know, personal to himself. And then with whatever power was given to Abby in that moment, whatever inspiration was given to him, and whatever happened in Bill that cut through his drunken fog to actually help him to hear this, this question, it changed everything. To me, it's maybe the most important question in the history of our program, because if it hadn't been posed, I wonder if there would have ever even been, you know, a 12-step recovery for anyone. You know, Bill might have kept a closed mind. I know that for myself, as a compulsive overeater and an addict of many of many different things, my default is experimentation. I experimented with, I have over and over again experimented with so many things to help me feel better. But the biggest experiment has been, you know, going through this process and finding a higher power at the end, as promised in the 12th step. You know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I found a power greater than myself that worked for me. And like Abby, you know, I'm so grateful for that power that I want to be able to, you know, help other people find their power. And, you know, there isn't anything that anybody can tell me as an, you know, compulsive overeater. Over and over again, they told me I was ruining my health or that I should stop eating so much, blah, 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 that I can take to heart. What I can take to heart is my own experience, my spiritual awakening. And that's what this program has given me. I am so grateful for that. And I hope all of you, if you haven't found it, find it here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. And before I take our next person, I wanted to let everybody know where we are in the Big Book if you're just joining us or if you joined us late. We're on page 12. We're in the second full paragraph that begins with, "My friend suggested what then seemed," ending with, "your own conception of God." So that's what we're sharing on today. And also want to remind you, if you've shared on Monday or Tuesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We're going to take two more people and then open it up for another lineup. So I've got Cheryl S. next, followed by Bruce E.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. Thank you, Stephanie, for moderating this meeting. Two simple sentences, but they just blow everything completely apart. They change everything. I came in to program with God, with an idea of God, a belief in God. And it wasn't a punishing or mean God. It was a God of childhood and some religion. And just like Bill says earlier, there's that need or that feeling in all of us. I came in with that. I knew that there was something. But I didn't really know. You know, when I was asked to form my own conception of God, that was hard. It was really hard. It was hard for me to undo what, you know, I'd had in my head and my heart for so many years. So I did hear on the meeting recently, which I really loved, where somebody said she was given an exercise where she wrote down, you know, what would the perfect parent be for her? What would the perfect spouse be? What would the perfect friend, sibling, all those relationships. And that's what I believe God is about, is relationships. That's what this program is about, is relationships. And I haven't done that yet, but I definitely am going to do it because I still struggle with, you know, what is my conception of God. And I looked up the word conception just now. And the definitions, there's two definitions that I found. The action of conceiving a child or of a child being conceived, and the other one is the forming or devising of a plan or idea. And I love those. I love that first one, the action of conceiving a child. And that's what this can be for me, is something brand new, you know, something that grows and is miraculous and amazing. And I'm excited to continue to conceive, you know, what is my higher power? What is the power greater than me that keeps me abstinent today, that keeps me wanting to help others when I never wanted to help anybody but myself? What is that? And it has nothing to do with give me, give me, give me. When I think about the perfect parent, I don't think about, you know, what can that parent give me, mere material things. How can they save me? You know, I think about a being that is there for me always, no matter what, loves me no matter what. I can go to, I can tell anything to, I can open my heart to, I can spill out my anger, my love, my sadness, my joy. And it's just, I am so thankful for these two sentences and the endless possibilities. And I'll end with this. I often wonder about God's point of view. And I wonder what God thinks, his mind, what their conception of him is. It must be very delightful to him because he loves beauty and he loves him. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Next up, we've got Bruce E.
Hello, I'm Bruce. I'm a recovered food addict down in Fort Myers, Florida, and absolutely grateful to be recovered today, be on this line, and be a part of this group, this fellowship. And I think it's some great, I mean, you know, couldn't be a better sentence in here. He made the suggestion, why don't you choose your own conception of God? So I know I got that right away, that he made the suggestion. You know, he wouldn't push it. Bill had been having a real hard time with this whole thing about God and all that, and spiritual stuff and everything. He'd been really struggling with that. So Abby just made this suggestion. You know, he wasn't telling them what to do. And why don't you choose your own conception of God? What a novel thing to say to him. I don't know where Abby came up with that, but pretty neat idea. And so when I came in the program, I had my own conception of God. I was very solid, I thought, with God. But I was face down in the food. So something wasn't working. And the God thing wasn't working for me. I mean, because I was thinking, you know, God was like a genie in a bottle. You know, you pull him out of the bottle and tell him something to do and then put him back in a bottle. And then my sponsor said, God is a gentleman. He only goes where he's invited to go to. And I hadn't even been inviting him into my food addiction, my food problem, my food eating disorder, the binging. I hadn't been doing that. And so things started working when I started thinking differently about spiritual things and these things. And so I've got this guy that I'm sponsoring, and he made it all the way. I didn't know what he was doing, you know, but he was staying sober. He's making it, made it to step 9 absolutely, you know. And then he relapsed, had a big time relapse, and came crawling back. And, you know, I started asking him, well, what is your own conception of God? And he didn't have one. You know, he said, how can I pray, or, you know, even think in those spiritual terms if I don't believe any of it? And, you know, one trying to talk him into anything, you know, only making suggestions like Evie was, but why don't you just think of, you know, I said, what do you think God is? What do you think the qualities of your higher power are? And he said, well, you know, love and acceptance and compassion. And, you know, he said some really, really neat good things like that, which I believe are all qualities of God, or at least God I follow. And thank you. Then that can be your conception of God. That could be, you know, that'll work from right there. You know, go from there. So, thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. And we can take probably about 3 or 4 more names of people who would like to share on that paragraph. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Nancy LJ.
I heard Nancy LJ, I believe.
Yep. Jody E., California.
I got you, Jody E.
Kim J.
I've got Kim J, and we might have time for one more. All right, we'll stick with these three and see how it goes. Nancy, I've got Nancy LJ, Jody E, Kim J. So Nancy, you're up first, followed by Jody E. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you. Nancy LJ in California. I just put my middle initial in recently, so because there's a few Nancy J's from California. I am happily recovered this morning, feeling very hopeful, and thank you for allowing me to share. What this brings for me, this little paragraph, is that saying, I don't know if it's Nike or whatever, it's just do it. You know, why don't you choose, maybe perhaps choose your own, freaking just do it. Enough with the excuses. And I'm thinking of myself, you know, I have had so many excuses in recovery, out of recovery, and I, you know, newcomer folks sometimes, you know, I hear it. Well, I can't do this because, well, I don't, that's too strict for me. You know, just do it. And every one of these directions in this book is key. You know, it's not Nancy pick 1 through 8 or, you know, oh, I can do, you know, 1 through 10. But an example, I've had a beautiful abstinence out of a relapse from hell for 15 months. And recently I've been noticing I've been wanting my little my mindful afternoon snack closer to my lunch. And yesterday after my mindful lunch, I wanted my mindful snack immediately after. What's that telling me? Just do it, right? Something's wrong. I really haven't been doing my evening work. I'm too tired. Well, hello, Nancy. You think maybe there's, you know, maybe you need to get back on track. So, you know, I'm too tired. I'm too tired to stay in recovery. I'm too tired. You know, it just doesn't work. So that's what this brings up for me, is just do it. And that's what I'm doing. And that's what I'm committing to continue to do for today. And super grateful for the meeting. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy LJ from California. Next, we've got Jody E, followed by Kim J.
Good morning, and thank you, Stephanie, for moderating. And thanks, everybody, for being here. So grateful for you all and that we have to come to. What a blessing. I am Jody E from California, gratefully recovered from compulsive overeating and bulimia, one day at a time. So why don't you just choose your own conception of God? I believed in God when I got here 36 years ago. I had a faith. I had been raised in a faith, and I accepted the conception that there was something, some kind of God. I didn't think too much about it, really. But I didn't have a relationship with God. I certainly had not even imagined that God would or might help me with my food, which was the eternal obsession in my life. Why it hadn't occurred to me, I don't know. I didn't really have a personal God. Perhaps I thought that God was, you know, more concerned with bigger things than my food. But my conception of God has evolved from my simple childhood faith to something that does concern itself with me personally and even with my food. In fact, I believe that my God specifically uses this disease, this compulsion, this obsession with food, this physical allergy of the body and mental twist to reach me. That is the way my higher power chose to reach Jody. I always loved food. I always loved to bake. And I became a baker professionally. And that was God's way of reaching me. Today, I don't need to bake. I don't need to eat those foods because I have found something better. I have found something much better in my higher power that gives me a life today. I didn't have a life. I was obsessed with food. That was my life. Today I get to live. I get to grow. I get to be transformed. I get to be reborn. And how could I not be anything but eternally grateful for that? Because I wasn't living, I was dying. I was spiraling down. And I thought I might end up taking my life, but not today. Now I'm spiraling up, and the spiral keeps going up. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California, and Kim J., you're up next, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Kim J., and I'm from Arkansas. I just wanted to comment on this. When I came into program, my conception of God was, well, it was really horrible. It was, the conception was the God of my youth, and I believed what I was told to believe. Certainly not a personal relationship with God, but that God was, it wasn't God because it had human characteristics. It was punishing. It was cruel. It was judgmental. It wasn't even God. And my first sponsor gave me some advice that really, really helped me. And because she knew I struggled with this, and for me to take step three, I was going to have a conception of God that was a God that I could trust. You can't turn your life and your will over to something that you don't trust. So she told me, she said, stop trying to create this power. She said, the power is already there. She said, what you're going to learn to do is tap into that power. And she said, stop trying to create it and let it show you what it is. And so my prayer for weeks was just simply, I don't know who you are. I don't know if you even exist, but they tell me that you love me. So do for me what I cannot do for myself today. And that's exactly what it did. Well, fast forward, I have a 40-year history of bulimia. And Friday, I will have 7 years of freedom from that bad boy. And I can't explain it. I marvel at it. What did this? How could this have happened? And not only to not have that in my life, but to be free from the compulsion to do it. 40 years is a long time to binge and purge your guts out every day. And I have 7 years that whatever this mysterious power is has relieved me of that. And I can't explain it. And on the other side, I haven't, for 7 years, I haven't done everything right. I haven't always been in fit spiritual condition. So I can't take credit for that. If I had done it all right for this 7 years and I had, followed the tools exactly, followed the food plan exactly, if I had done it all perfectly, I might could have taken credit for this 7 years of freedom, but I didn't.
That's
right. Okay. And I'll wrap up with that. I just wanted to say how grateful I am for this mysterious power. And everybody have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim J. from Arkansas. And we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Lou Ann C., will you please read a vision for you?
Thank you for this meeting. It was such a great meeting. My name is Lou Ann C. I'm in Boise, Idaho. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.